fire tests the purity of silver and gold, but a person is tested by being praised. Think about that. What happens whenever somebody walks up to you and says, "Boy, you really did a great job today. You are so good at what you do." Do we love that praise? Yeah, he goes right up. You know, I mean, if you're not careful, if two or three come by and say that to you, I mean, you've had it. You know, by this time you think, you're walking around with your thumb under your arm. Somebody, what do you got to say? Man, I'm good. If you don't believe, just ask me. I'll tell you how good I am. You see that building over? I just built that. Isn't that beautiful? Woo, ain't I good? Why do you think you're good? Well, my boss and the VP and the CEO all have told me I've done a great job on that. They are so pleased with me. Woo, ain't I good? You just separated yourself from God. That pride, it just separated you from God. He says there, fire tests the purity of silver and gold. But a person is tested by being praised. So be careful how much you praise someone. If you praise them, you know, don't keep praising them for a lot for the same thing. Just say thank you for doing something kind of gently, because you don't want them to get to that pride. I mean, did you know that you could even take a child and they can be obedient and obeying you, and if you start bragging on them too much, they'll get puffed up? And did you know then it won't be long? You'll tell them to do something and they won't do it, and you'll have to get the switch out because pride. They think they're in control. You have to be careful. What tests a man? Praise. Praise tests a man. Be careful with your praise. You know, we all like to praise people, but you got to be careful. Of course, the thing about a man or a woman, a person, you need to realize when somebody praises you, you need to keep yourself humble. I don't care if 10 people, I don't care if the corporate boss comes up and says, "You know, you've sure done a good job on that project. You are something else." He said, "Well, because I serve Jesus." You know, give him all the praise and glory. Don't you take any of it. That'll keep you humble when you realize it's not you doing it, it's him. If you let that get away, think, "I'm doing this." Oh. And how easy is that for young people? They want to be praised anyway. They want to feel like they're somebody. They're trying to build a place in life anyway. When you get my age, you could care less. You know, you're not trying to build nothing no more. You know, you realize that everything's going to burn up. That's the way I look at it now. Everything's going to fall apart. I remember the day after we buried my dad. He was 79 years old when he died. He'd worked hard. We had that nice, big, beautiful ranch that he had built all that fence around. He had worked hard. I remember some of those barns and granaries and things I helped him build. But I went out there one day, several years after Dad died, when I went out there to look at this. I went out there on the place. We had divided it up between me and my two sisters. That's what Mom and Dad wanted in the will. I went out there, and Mother died 5 years after Dad did. And so those old granaries and barns and everything out around the lot, ain't nobody doing nothing with them. They're just sitting there, rotting and falling apart. I walked out there one day, and I thought, you know, I can remember when these used to be nice. They were straight. The fences were tight. And now look, it's junk. It's falling apart. I said, everything Dad invested his life in on this earth, it's gone. Just a piece of land. Don't count for nothing. Well, you know, you got to think about the same thing for yourself. You know, what am I doing? What's it going to do? You know, it's going to be all vanity. That's what it is. Well, what if you led people into the kingdom of God and got them saved? What if you changed people's lives forever? You're going to take those rewards with you forever. That's the only thing you're going to take with you. That's the only thing that's important. It's what we do for Jesus. But it says, their fire tests the purity of silver and gold, but a person is tested by being praised. Do you like to be praised? Sure. I've never seen anybody that didn't. You know, that's the way we're made. Okay, let's go back to... But just look at that one more time. Don't be impressed with your own wisdom. Don't be puffed up. Instead, fear the Lord and turn your back on evil. When you fear the Lord and you turn your back on evil, then after you turn your back on evil, have you, just look at this. If we go full forward toward evil, in other words, sin. Evil and sin is in the same bracket. So we go forward into things that are evil or sin, then it says that if we turn our backs on those things, it will gain renewed health and vitality. So if we don't, guess what's going to happen to your health and your vitality? What if you're walking in sin? What if you're walking in evil? What's going to happen to your health? It's going to deteriorate. You're going to get sick. You know, it's amazing how I read this Bible for years and never looked at the negative side of what it wasn't saying. I would only look at the positive side. I didn't look at that very positive. But everything I've come to learn in life, there's an equal and opposite reaction for everything. Everything. I don't care what it is. So if I walk in God's kind of love, and I'm not impressed with my own wisdom, but only impressed with His wisdom, and I fear the Lord, and I turn my back on evil, I don't have to even be concerned about my health and vitality. I'm going to be strong and healthy. Now, how do you want to be? Strong and healthy or weak and... We want to be strong and healthy, don't we? So can we live in evil and do that? Not at all. Not at all. Like some of the things, whenever I started telling Dave these things, Dave has told me many a time, I didn't realize how much sin I had to get rid of in my life. Some of the little things that he didn't even consider were sin back in those days. But he said, wow, when I began to read the book, wow, some of the things I was doing I thought was okay. Everybody else was doing them. You know, just little things, you know, at work or whatever. And he's got to change everything. And he's got to do it God's way. I had to learn all those things too. You know, so, and if we don't, then we're not going to have health and vitality. Go to the next two verses. Honor the Lord with your wealth. Now, I didn't do that at first. I didn't know when it says honor. I could read over that. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the best part of everything your land produces. Then he will fill your barns with grain and your vats will overflow with the finest wine. You know, I didn't understand. Although I was raised up in church, I never learned the principle of that as a young man. And by the time I was, I guess the time I got back from Vietnam, no, it wasn't. Yeah, I guess it was. Somewhere along about that time when I got out of the military, no, I was still in the military, I heard a preacher preach on tithing. First message I ever remember hearing a man preach on tithing. And, of course, that day I had put a dollar bill. I was making $40 a week. And I put a dollar bill in the offering plate that Sunday when he come around. And, you know, I remember putting that dollar in there. And I remember that preacher saying, you know, there is people that will come to church and enjoy the grace of God and all the benefits that God give us. And when the offering plate's passed, we put a lousy dollar bill in the offering plate. And when I looked up, guess where that finger was pointing, Joseph? Right at me. And I wanted to just slither down in the seat. I said, he saw me put that dollar bill in that offering plate. There's probably no telling how many people as he moved that finger around. He's pointing at me. And I went home and I said, Lord, I don't know how I'm going to do this. I made notes of all them scriptures he quoted that day. And I said, Lord, you tell me I'm supposed to tithe. You told me I could put you to the test in this. And I could, if I start giving you 10%, my tithe, that if I can try you, and you can literally, you say you will meet my needs every way, you will absolutely open the windows of heaven, and in fact, that's found in Malachi chapter 3, verses 7 through 11, and we might run to that from here, where it says, honor the Lord with your wealth, and with the best part of everything your land produces, and after you do that, he promised there in Proverbs what he'll do, but then we go to this Malachi 3, okay, here we are. Ever since the days of your ancestors, you have scorned my laws and failed to obey them. Now return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord Almighty. But you ask, how can we return when we have never gone away? Now see, we don't think we've left. We don't think we've sinned, but we haven't read his book. So he says there, should people cheat God? Now that's the first thing somebody would say, well, no, you're not supposed to cheat God. And yet you have cheated me. But you ask, what do you mean? When did we ever cheat you? You have cheated me of the tithes and the offerings due to me. Now then, verse 9. Okay. You are under a curse, for your whole nation has been cheating me. Do you think this nation is cheating God? Who? You want to know why we had no rain for 3 years and the lakes were all dry? And then you want to know why it started raining and it hadn't stopped in 3 months and we got more water than we know what to do with? Because this nation's under a curse from God. You know? I mean, he promises in this book, if we do, not only the world, he said, if the church will do what I say, and you'll honor me and humble me and seek my face, I will hear from heaven and I will heal your land. Because look at what he says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse so there will be enough food in my temple. If you do, says the Lord Almighty, I will open the windows of heaven for you, and I will pour out a blessing so great you won't have room enough to take it in. Try it. Let me prove it to you. Now, how do you like those statements? You know, do you think that'd be worth trying him to start tithing and see what happens? So wherever, I tell people, I don't care where you go to church, but wherever you go to church and wherever a pastor or whatever feeds you, that's where you should tithe. You should give your tithe to your church. And then from there, you can give money to any other ministry you want to. Just like us, the Living Savior Ministries, I give money to lots of ministries, not just one or two. You know, but I send money to lots of them. But he tells us there to bring all the tithes into him. And he says that I will pour out a blessing so great you won't have room enough to take it in. Try it. Let me prove it to you.
We're going to have to stop right there for today, but we'll start again tomorrow with a teaching. And if you'd like to have these teachings in their entirety, if you would just give us a call, we'll be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. That's at 940-242-2106. 940-242-2106. And we'll send them to you free and postpaid. Or you can go to our website. You can listen to these teachings again from the website, or you can get them free and postpaid from www.tlsm.org. www.tlsm.org. That's the Living Savior Ministries. There you can listen to these again, or you can order them free and postpaid, and many other teachings free and postpaid from our website. Praise the Lord Jesus.